Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we bring you some news, talk about our favorite shows and characters, give you a fun recipe, and give you some suggestions on what to watch or what we're just into this week. Joining me this week is...
Hi, everybody. It's Jason again.
Jason, it's been such a long... I was going to say forever, but not literally forever, but it's been so long since... You've been on the podcast. I mean, we took that long hiatus, so we're back, but we haven't had you on for a while. So what have you been up to since the listeners have last heard from you?
Oh, gosh, what have I been up to? A lot of nothing and a lot of everything, which, what does that mean? I've just been, you know, working hard, doing conferences for work, speaking at events, all that fun stuff, but nobody wants to hear about my work. I don't want to hear about my work. So outside of that, been enjoying a lot of JRPGs. I think I mentioned that last time I was on the podcast and probably the time before that I'm a huge JRPG fan. I've been working on my own for a little bit now. So it's a slow but steady process. I know it's possible to make one on your own. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the one Chained Echoes, the indie one that like blew up 3 or 4 years ago. That was like made by one guy. So I could probably pull that off too, if I put my mind to it. But yeah, so that's been one of my big little side projects lately, is building my own JRPG. Other than that, you know, just my volunteer work, all that fun stuff, hanging out with friends, spending time with a girlfriend, normal things.
Nice. Are you going to add like a gacha system to your JRPG?
No, because I hate gacha systems.
What is that gacha game? What is it? Genshin Impact?
Yes. Yeah. I hate when JRPGs go make a mobile version, and they almost always fail. It's very rare that a JRPG that was always on console or PC decides to go mobile, because they usually lean heavily into the gacha system and it turns people off really quickly.
Yeah, I feel like I get really obsessed with the gacha system. Like, there's always a character I really want to get, and I get really obsessed about it. And then once I'm like 20 in and I don't get that character, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to quit this game. It's like, it's going to suck all my money up if I can stay in here. I don't do that too. I don't really play that many gacha games, actually. So saving myself from that money. But I don't know. That'd be fun to make your own JRPG. I don't know what mine would be about. Maybe it'll be about that character, that AI, that picture you sent me the other day of myself.
Oh, yeah.
All angry. Maybe I just jump to animes and be like, actually, this is not factual. What's happening in this universe right now?
You remember the game Gex, where they actually remastered it or remade it or whatever and released it a year ago. But if you remember the game Gex, where like the gecko jumps into the TVs in a very intellectual property safe way, he'll jump into things that are like off brands of popular TV shows, so like an off brand Looney Tunes, he'll jump into like an off brand Kung Fu movie or whatever, off brand, you know, Chucky movie. You should do that, where you just jump into like the off brand versions of animes.
This anime feels familiar, but it's not copyrighted.
Exactly. The royalty free anime.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I was obsessed with Gex the Gecko. I think, is it Gex 3, the one where he looks like James Bond on the cover?
I believe so.
That one I was like so obsessed with. I didn't own it, but I constantly rented it. You know, when you rented video games. I don't know if you remember this place. It was called Planet Hollywood. Was it called Planet Hollywood? Hollywood Videos, yeah. Hollywood Videos. And I would, like, every weekend I'd be like, we gotta rent. I would tell my parents, like, as soon as I got, I was like, we gotta go. We gotta get Gex 3. If we don't get it, someone else is gonna rent it and it will not be there. by the time we got there. So I was obsessed with that game on the PlayStation. So maybe that's that. Maybe I should do that. Yeah, that could be fun. I wonder what animes I would want to jump into. I mean, Fairy Tail, of course. You gotta go. Full Metal Alchemist.
Yes.
Man.
But you have to do it in like a royalty free way. So like instead of Full Metal Alchemist, it's like Totally Iron Dude or something like that.
Totally Iron Science Magic Power World.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know. Now I'm trying to think. Well, con season is starting up for myself. I know I mentioned this a little bit in the past episode. But next week I'll be flying off to San Diego, going to Comic-Con there. So I'm really excited about that. I got a whole bunch of things planned to do for the podcast. I'm excited. I'm actually going to be recording the podcast live from San Diego. So I'm excited and nervous to see how that all goes. Trying to get, I was talking before we started recording about like getting all my costumes ready and stuff, but I've actually been trying to play around with recording audio. So I have the DJI Osmo Pocket 3, and it has a little microphone.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I've been like playing around. I actually bought one of those, like little reporter microphones that I can put mine in so I can interview people. So I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. If this live one goes well, then I plan on doing it again in the future, because next month in August, I'll actually be attending Pokemon Worlds in San Francisco, and I would love to do something live. I mean, even us two could record live together, because I'll be near your neck of the woods.
Indeed.
So that would be exciting. But other than all that stuff, you know, just the same old, same old, working, being a nuisance to society, you know, all that fun stuff. Watching a lot of anime, which is how I relax. It's fun because it's like I watch anime to do the podcast with, and then I have my like relaxing animes. So,
yeah, I know how that goes. You have like, it's like when with our King of the Hill podcast, it's like when it's podcast season, you're watching it scientifically, almost like trying to document everything, and then all of a sudden, like you, when the podcast is over, you can just watch and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, I got it totally, because sometimes we'll be watching an episode for like to record the podcast. That's not my first podcast. You can listen to it on any streaming channel. Yeah, sometimes we'll be watching, especially the new seasons, there were like a couple episodes where I wasn't like totally grooving into it. And then there were ones where I was like, I really want to rewatch this episode. Like when Bobby makes his own beer, I was like, oh, I can rewatch this one a couple of times. But you got, you know, definitely excited for the new season to come up. But that's another podcast. I'm sure we're going to record that soon and we'll be talking about that. So yeah. If you enjoy King of the Hill, definitely check out our other show that Jason and I do together.
Yeah, especially since what, next week, I think, or sometime, either next week, the week after, I don't know. It comes out this month.
This month? Whoa, this month is almost over.
Yeah.
Is it coming out the week of Comic-Con? Oh, man.
I think it is coming out the week of Comic-Con.
Okay. Well, I don't know. We'll have to figure out something. We should do something for it soon. But yeah, that's another time. Definitely check that out, guys. Jason and I have a lot of fun doing that one, so you'll definitely enjoy it. And as two Texans, that'll be definitely a great podcast to check out.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, the battle for the biggest anime headlines never end. From new seasons to unexpected plot twists, now here's everything you need to know in this week's anime news. We've got a fascinating crossover story this week that brings together anime fans, Yuri fans, and even classic rock fans. The upcoming anime adaptation of The Girl She Was Interested In wasn't a Guy at All made headlines this week after it was revealed that Nirvana's iconic 1991 song Breed will serve as the anime's opening theme. But the story gets even bigger when former Nirvana drummer and Foo Fighter frontman Dave Grohl shared his thoughts on the series. In a special interview with manga creator Sumiko Ari, Grohl said he believes Kurt Cobain would have loved the series, praising its message, aesthetic, and overall vibe. He also expressed excitement about the music being featured throughout the anime. The anime is currently scheduled to premiere in January of 2027. A new comedy anime called Chainsmoker Cat has officially arrived. And yes, the title is exactly what you think it is. The series follows Yanni, a cat girl with a serious smoking addiction who is constantly struggling to get her life together. Between trying to quit, struggling to pay rent, and relying on her friends and family to help her out, Yanni's everyday life is basically a chaotic comedy of bad decisions. This anime is based off the manga Yanni Nico by Nyanyan Factory. The series is actually getting multiple versions. Fans can watch the standard broadcast version, but there's also an uncut edition called the Evil Dragon Unleashed version, which aims to preserve the creator and director's original vision. The anime is being streamed globally in July of 2026, so this month, and will be streamed on Netflix. And hopefully we'll get the uncut version here in the States, but it is select regions only. And lastly, gamers, VR fans, and anime lovers have another reason to dust off their controllers because Shangri-La Frontier is officially returning for Season 3, set to premiere in January 2027. There is a short little preview video out, and you can watch that on YouTube. All right, everyone, it's time for the part of the show where we make questionable decisions and defend them confidently. Our rotating anime segment starts now. Segment of the week. Bring it on and let's speak. This week's segment is This Should Be an Anime, JRPG Edition. So, as Jason said, he is a big fan of JRPGs, and there are a whole bunch of them that haven't been turned into animes yet, unlike the one we did last time we talked on the podcast with Star Ocean. You should check that episode out, everyone. But Jason and I will go back and forth, and we will talk about JRPGs that we think should be turned into animes. So would you like to go first, Jason?
Sure. And when you told me this, one I was going to say was Suikoden 2, but apparently it is getting an anime later this year, so that's off the table. One that I think should be an anime that... There is an animated series in the works for it. However, it is geared towards children, like the demographic's supposed to be 9 to 13, I believe, in the age. I want them to make an actual accessible anime for everybody that is based on one of my favorite JRPGs, Final Fantasy IX. Like, it should follow the game more or less. Maybe it could take place, be a prequel or a sequel or something like that. But I would absolutely love a Final Fantasy IX anime.
Okay, piggybacking off of you, I also have, two Final Fantasies on my list. I don't have a lot of JRPGs. I'm not as vastly knowledge as you are. But these two Final Fantasy games are ones I really love. They're very special to me. One, of course, because I told you this one is my favorite. Final Fantasy VIII. I love it so much. I want everyone to play it. It's actually the first Final Fantasy that I played all the way through. I don't know. I got really addicted to the story. I got really addicted to that card game that you could play inside of it. I love it. I think every Final Fantasy lends itself to become an anime. They're just epic stories about saving the world, whatever world it may be. And they play like cinematic shows already. My favorite thing about Final Fantasies, I haven't played one recently, so I don't know if it still exists, but do they still have those like really beautiful cutscenes? Like after you play a little bit, there's like a full like movie kind of cutscene?
Not so much anymore. a lot of sometimes they'll do a pre-rendered cutscene. In fact, they still kind of do, but a lot of it is just in it in engine. So it uses the game engine to do it, or it's like the technology is so good that sometimes it's not. Unless you're really paying attention, it's hard to tell when it quit when it cuts over from engine to pre-rendered. But yeah, I mean they still do pre-rendered stuff for like certain scenes or whatever, but a lot of it's in engine. A lot of the pre-rendered cutscenes from back in the day was just due to the technical limitations of the time.
Oh, I really loved when it is like cut away. You like set your controller down and you can like, oh, I'm watching a movie now. That, and I loved when Guardian Forces would like summon and there would be a little intro video for them. But for me, Final Fantasy VIII needs to be an anime as well. Like, I mean, they should base, my other pick was Final Fantasy X. I love Final Fantasy X already. I think that should be its own show as well. So you might as well just do all three. 8, 9, and 10, you know, just hit all those Final Fantasies. Not that they need a bigger audience, but I love those too. So those would be my picks. I love Squall, Zell, everyone, and then at 10, you get Waka. So I think there's a whole bunch of fun characters in those games.
Nice. Yeah, I agree. I think, actually, funny enough, so my first Final Fantasy ever was 8 as well. Talking about going to Hollywood Video, I have distinct memories of going to Blockbuster, like in the late 90s, and they had a, you know, it's about my size at the time, a cardboard cutout to advertise, you know, that you can rent Final Fantasy VIII now. And it was, you know, Squall and Rinoa and I believe Cypher, but I can't remember exactly. But I remember that being there, and that kind of enticed me. And then also back in the day, and I'm guessing we're not going to be able to do this anymore in 2028, but back in the day, Pizza Hut actually used to give you demo discs for PlayStation. Like, so you would order, like if you ordered a large stuffed crust pizza or something like that, like you'd get this demo disc and it'd have like 5 games on it. And then that's how I like learned about different games. So it had like, it had a demo of Metal Gear Solid. It had a demo of, I want to say one of the Twisted Metal games. And then it had a demo of Final Fantasy VIII. So, and then I can't remember what the other games were.
Gosh, what would you do in the demo?
It was just for Final Fantasy VIII. It was just the adult. No, it was just the Dalit mission.
Okay. Interesting, man. Do you remember PlayStation had its own magazine?
Yes.
And you could get demo discs in that magazine.
Yes, I do.
Oh man, I used to have like a little binder of demo discs, and there would be like my favorite demos to like play over. And man, I haven't thought about demo discs in forever, man. I feel like the world is missing out on that. Mm-hmm. There would be games that you would never have thought about playing. But since they were on there, you'd be like, I might as well give this a shot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how I learned about Final Fantasy VIII. That's how I learned about Metal Gear Solid. So, yeah.
Man, that and AOL discs. Remember AOL?
Oh, gosh.
Free trial discs.
Yeah, you get like 1,000 of them in the mail in a given month.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. Oh, did I ever tell you my story about Final Fantasy VIII and like the broken disc?
I feel like you probably have, but let's share it with the audience.
What? Okay. So back in the day, some video games were more than one disc long, and Final Fantasy VIII was 3 discs long. And I was renting it so many times from the video store that my parents were like, we should just buy it because the amount of money we're spending on renting it every week, it's cheaper to probably just own. So they bought it for me, and there was like, so after disc 2 you move on to disc 3. So I put disc 3 in, and then something happened, like I either died or whatever, but I had to go back to disc 2. And as I was pulling disc 3 out of my PlayStation, I cracked the disc. And there's no way of fixing that. So I cracked the disc of my game. And I was like, what do I do? So I ended up having to rent it again so I could go back and play. Oh, no, wait. I actually flip it. It wasn't disc three that I broke. It was disc two. But I had to go back to disc two from three for some reason. So I had to rent the game again so I could put disc two in so I could go into three. It's a whole crazy story. But I did break one of my Final Fantasy discs. So it was very upsetting. Oh, man. But what a time when you had to switch discs to like continue playing your game. And like DVDs, like long movies where they were like two disc long movies.
Mm-hmm.
What a time we lived through. But yeah, definitely, no. Definitely like the Final Fantasy games are ones that should be turned into shows. I definitely would watch them. Like even they should have gotten movies, honestly, but who's to say who controls that? But what is your next pick though for JRPG?
So because it's possible that one will be made, but one does not exist yet, I put Metaphor Re Fantasio, which was up for Game of the Year in 2024. It's made by Atlus, the same people who make the Persona games. And there is a, well, we did one on the Persona 5 anime, but there's also a Persona 4 anime. So like Atlus has made anime based on their properties before, so it's not far-fetched to think that they could do one on Metaphor. And the story was so good, I like, there are just people who don't like playing games, and I get it, like, you know, whatever, but I think they would, those same people would really like the story of Metaphor Re Fantasio if it were like an anime, and they could consume it that way versus playing a game. The story's just so good, I wish they would make it into an anime for people to watch. I'd watch it, and then for other people to watch.
Nice. Yeah, I well, if it's anything like the Persona games, I would have to check. Like, I really love those games. In the anime, I really fell in love with that anime too. I need to watch Persona 4. That show. And then, isn't there like a remake coming out or something? There's some Persona something.
Yeah, Persona 4, so they announced it last month, I believe. So we already knew that a Persona 4 revival was going to come, but they finally gave us an actual release date and gave us more details Summer Game Fest. During Summer Game Fest, Xbox Series or whatever. But anyway, yeah, so Persona 4 revival is coming out, I believe, February of next year. And while there's not a date yet, they formally announced that they are working on Persona 6. So that's something to look forward to.
I'm excited. That show was so much fun. I love it. If you haven't watched the Persona anime yet, watch it. And if you haven't played the Persona games yet, you should definitely play them. Persona 5 is great. For me, my next pick is, and this is one that I grew up with, it's Earthbound. I think Earthbound, and if you don't know Earthbound, you probably know the character Ness from Super Smash Brothers. He's the one, little boy with the bat. I think this would make a great anime. You know, there's space involved because the meteor falls from the sky into his neighborhood. We get to see different towns and different neighborhoods, so that's like different adventures that they're all going on, different series. There's a whole bunch of different kids there, so we got like a fun little like cast of characters, and I kind of like the idea of like them being, I think it gives like that Stranger Things vibe. It's like these kids solving you know, this mystery. This is kind of like the original Stranger Things if you think about it, Earthbound.
Yeah.
So I feel like Earthbound needs something. I feel like it's such a good story that people are sleeping on it. I can't believe there's not a... I don't think they made an Earthbound movie or anything like that, because when I looked it up, I looked up anime, but there isn't one. But Earthbound should definitely get something. I think it's a fun story.
Earthbound is a great story. Sadly, it's always been one of those things that has been niche. Like, it just never had major popularity. So, you know, actually, you know, Earthbound is two in a series of three. In Japan, the game's known as Mother.
Yeah.
We only recently got Mother 1. You could play it on Nintendo Switch Online. I think it came out maybe 3 years ago. So if you have a Nintendo Switch Online, you can play, what's it called? Mother 1. And then, of course, you can play Earthbound, which is Mother 2 on Nintendo Switch Online. But Mother 3 has never formally been ported to the U.S. There are fan translations that exist out there, but Nintendo has never actually ported it to America.
Interesting. Maybe we need it. Everyone, we need to like rise up and say we want more of this. I think it's such a great game. It's so classic. I think it still holds up. I haven't played it recently, but I do remember it. I think just like the style of it kind of carries over. It feels very retro. So if they give the anime a little retro feel, I think that's great. So I definitely think Earthbound is one that should be brought up. Do you have another pick?
I have one more, but one last thought on Earthbound. So I earlier talked about how Chained Echoes was a JRPG made by one guy. Well, there's a guy, I believe his name is Toby Fox. If I got his name wrong, I apologize. But he used to be a huge fan, and I think he still is, huge fan of Earthbound, and he made a bunch of Earthbound like ROM hacks and customizations and stuff over the years. He eventually made his own game that was, you could tell it's inspired by Earthbound, but it's not Earthbound. It's his own IP. And you may know the game's name. It is a incredibly popular game. He made it largely by himself, Undertale. So Undertale is inspired by Earthbound.
What? Oh my gosh. I do know Undertale. So he started off kind of modding Earthbound, and then that led him to make, wow, that's crazy. Okay, that's cool. I did not know that.
If you play Undertale, you'll notice some of the themes between that and Earthbound and like design and whatnot.
Man, you know what? Now that you say, it does. It feels like a companion to that. Dang, that's insane. I didn't know that about that. That's cool.
Yeah. But to answer your question, my final one, and this is a kind of a retro one because the series has largely been dead since maybe the early 2000s, the Breath of Fire series. More specifically, so there's three, I guess, technically there's five because there was a PlayStation 2 release called, I believe it was called Breath of Fire Quarter Dragon or something like that. So that was kind of the fifth one. But there's formerly Breath of Fire 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 is widely considered the best by most of the fan base. I always thought that should definitely have an anime, and I don't think it's ever had an actual anime ever. As far as I could tell, it's never had an anime. That is such a good game. It is such a great retro 90s JRPG. It's a shame that nobody had, like, there's this whole nostalgia thing going on with JRPGs right now where people are trying to make JRPGs that remind us of the ones we grew up in the 90s. It's just a shame that nobody has tried to remake in the style of Breath of Fire yet. But that would make an amazing anime.
Yeah, that would be cool. I do feel like there are so many great JRPGs out there that should be turned into something. I feel like there's so many IPs that are just sitting on that could be like epic story. JRPGs are epic in just themselves, so definitely hearing like some of these that we're talking about just feels like, why haven't they done anything with these things yet? And that brings you to my last pick for me. It's Chrono Trigger. I feel like Chrono Trigger definitely needs some kind of show. It does have an OVA, like a little short OVA. It was kind of like a little promotional thing, but it doesn't have a full length anime out. And I think it lends itself to that really well. Just because you're jumping through time, I think that divides the show up easily. Each episode could be a different time thing, or if you want to extend stuff, arcs could go into different time periods. So I really feel like we're sitting on, you know, and Chrono Trigger is not a new game. Neither is Earthbound. Yeah. So I feel like, why haven't we done anything with these? Makes me feel like they're locked up in like legal stuff.
We can't probably do it. Like Akira Toriyama did the artwork for Chrono Trigger, the same person who did Dragon Quest and I believe Dragon Ball as well. So it's like they kind of already have an in into the anime world, so why not do it?
Yeah, I just feel like the time aspect of it would lend really well to like an anime. But yeah, so those are just some of the picks that we have for JRPGs that we enjoy that we think should be turned into shows. We would love to hear what you guys suggested. So please comment what JRPG you don't say game, right? It's just JRPGs.
I mean, I guess you could say JRPG game if you really wanted to, but I usually just say JRPGs.
Yeah, so comment what JRPGs you would love to see turned into full-length shows. Okay, everyone. Every week, one anime steps into the spotlight. This week, we watched it, processed it, and now it's time to talk about it. This week, we are talking about Gargantia of the Barrenest Planet. Gargantia of the Barrenest Planet is a beautiful sci-fi adventure that asks a surprisingly simple question. What happens when someone who has only known war is finally given a chance to live? The story follows Leto, a young pilot separated from his military fleet after a battle in deep space. He crash lands on Gargantia, a massive fleet of ships drifting across the ocean, where every day is filled with work, community, and the little joys of ordinary life. As Leto tries to understand this peaceful society, he's forced to question everything he believes about duty, humanity, and what it truly means to have a purpose. Don't let the giant robots fool you. While there are exciting action scenes, this series is just as interested in quiet character moments, colorful world building, and exploring the contrast between survival and actually living. You can stream Gargantia of the Barrenest Planet on Crunchyroll, or you can stream it on Hulu. Every great anime has its food moments, and now it's our turn. Here's this week's special recipe to help you enjoy the show. This week's featuring a fun cocktail called Sunset Over Gargantia. It's 2 ounces of tequila, 2 ounces of mango nectar, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, a splash of orange juice, and topped with grenadine. You can garnish this with an orange wheel if you like. So grab your favorite glass, imagine you're relaxing on the deck of the Gargantian fleet with the ocean breeze rolling in, and let's raise a toast. Here's to new horizons, unexpected adventures, and finding home in the most unlikely places. Now, let's dive into the show. Okay, Jason, this is one you previously watched, right?
Yes, actually, I watched it. I came across it maybe, I want to say 2017, 2018. It was one of those things, you know, you're clicking through Netflix or whatever, and something pops up as, you know, hey, you might like this. And you go ahead and click it and like, yeah, I do like this.
Okay, so you've seen it before. So I'll start off with my first impressions and we can jump to like what you were thinking back then. Mm-hmm. For me, not to dive too deep into the show, and just going off the first 2 episodes-ish, I was shocked. I thought going in it was going to be one way, and then it kind of takes a turn to a different way. And it threw me off for a little bit. So I thought we were like Gundam-style robot fighting, and how the show was going to be like a space opera almost. But we take a turn, and it becomes kind of like almost like a slice of life anime, living everyday life on this new world. So I was really excited. How the anime shifted quickly was a little jarring for me, but I still really started enjoying it. So it didn't really deter me because I really love slice of life. I love an anime where we're just living our lives and we're doing things ordinarily. Kind of we're seeing how different characters would react to it. So I was really enjoy. I really enjoyed the beginning part of this show. I kind of was like, this feels like, was this on? I don't know when this came out, but it feels like it should have been on Toonami. It gives me that vibes of like 90s anime.
Yeah, it definitely gives that vibe. I mean, artwork-wise, you can clearly tell it's, you know, early 2010s or whatever, but it definitely gives the vibe of 90s anime. When I first saw it, you know, I watched it assuming it was going to be a largely sci-fi mech show, because it kind of gives you that impression when you look at it, and especially when you start it. And I grew up on Gundam, you know, talking about Toonami, I watched Gundam and Dragon Ball Z were always like how I ended my nights before I went to bed. Gundam Wing, to be more specific, because there are a lot of Gundam shows out there. So I've always kind of liked the mech space battle type things. There are good shows, there are bad shows. I was willing to give it a chance and stuff. But yeah, in that first episode, it does a quick 180. And at first, you're kind of like, okay. But then it's, I think, and you know, not to get into spoiler territory yet, but it's really deep show and really thought provoking, and the characters I found very enjoyable.
Yeah, I definitely love the character. I can't wait till we kind of dive deeper into them. The first episode was definitely hooked me. I also grew up watching Gundam Wing. It's probably one of Gundam Wing was actually my intro into the Gundam franchise. And Gundam Wing is kind of really different than the rest of the Gundam shows. But yeah, I came in thinking of space, like space opera. Was pleasantly surprised, though, when I kind of figured out, when we figured out what the show is truly about. And there are definitely a lot of different surprises of the show. You'll hear my rating of the show later, but I definitely was, there were moments when I was watching the show and I was like, oh my God, that just happened? Or like, the reveals were crazy. There are some crazy reveals in the show. But those are just some of our first impressions. Now we are entering the spoiler zone. If you haven't watched the season, please jump to this time to keep yourself free from any spoilers.
Now entering the spoiler zone.
Okay, Jason, but before we go talk everything Gargantia, we have a brand new little game that we play, and it's to guess each other's favorite character of this season, or this the show, because there's only one season long. So would you like to take a guess of who my favorite character is? There was one who was my favorite character for almost the whole series, and then there's a turn, and then I was like, I don't like you anymore. But then I turned back. Then that character came back around for me. But then there's another character that I was like, I'm always going to like you. So there's kind of two picks for me.
Yeah, so my guess was Pinion, I believe is his name.
Yes. I like him. I liked, was it like Pinion, right?
Pinion, yeah. I want to call him Pinion because that's what it looks like it's spelled, but I think it's like Pinion.
Because I first thought his name was Philion or something like that. But now I'm seeing is like, okay, Pinion is my favorite character because I love a guy trying to get out of doing work. I like someone who's like, you know, we could be working or we could have a barbecue picnic today. So I enjoy it. He's very relaxed, very chill kind of person. So I definitely enjoyed him. But then he takes that turn in the like towards the end of the series. And I was like, I really don't like you. I can't believe you like became like a jackass. So I will say yes, he is my favorite character because he has a like revelation moment. So he comes back to us. But yeah, I would say he's my favorite. My guess for you, I want to say it's Leto.
You got that right. I am a sucker for a character who has a great growth arc. It doesn't matter if we're talking about a JRPG, a movie, an anime. I always love characters who have great growth arcs. And I really liked his character arc.
I think this is the first, though we've only done this once, this is the first time, and we both got 100. So I like that. Top picks. We know each other very well. I almost picked Amy, though, for you.
Amy is a good character. I just like Amy is more or less kind of flat or two, maybe not flat, but like two-dimensional or one-dimensional.
She doesn't change.
Yeah, she's pretty much the same character from episode one to the final episode with a little bit of change, but Leto has like some major, you know, arcs and growth and, you know, deciding who he is. And I mean, we'll get into it in more detail, but all of that stuff is what made me really like him.
Okay, so now we're talking full spoilers. There are some things I really want to talk about. I think the first thing that I want to mention is that Leto starts off in a mecha and he's fighting in space. Something happens. They're fighting like space aliens. Well, they look like space octopuses or space squids kind of thing. And he's fighting them. He crashes, passes out. He lands on a ship. And then we find out that this is Earth and there's no more land on Earth. It's just all water.
Mm-hmm.
And these are ships. And I think that was my first, that was the first time I was like, what was happening? Though I kind of got the feel like this is going to be Earth. But it was crazy thinking like, I don't know. I was just a little shocked that it was Earth and living on ships the whole time. So I think that was the first revelation for like, oh my God, moment for me. Also, did you also find it weird in the first episode when, like, Leto's going into fight and then his captain, gosh, what is the next captain's name? Is it Kugel? Like, when he was like, Leto, you have more people to kill or, like, more of these aliens to kill in your lifetime than I do, so you must survive. I was like, that's a really weird way of wording that you're younger and you have more life to live than me. So I was just taken aback by that, but that definitely was like interesting to me. And then the shift that kind of we were mentioning is like, you think it's going to be this big like mecha suits fighting in space, but for a lot of the show it is Leto learning how to do everyday, like living in a world that's not structured or not like everything is written out for him already. He's got freedom. He's got choices. He's got to figure out what kind of job he's good at. He's got to learn what money is and how to spend it. I really enjoyed that. I could see someone being like, this isn't what I signed up for. But it was so cool just seeing like day-to-day life with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And like to add additional context, like the show takes place in like the far future. Like, I don't know. I don't think they ever give us a specific date if it's like 5,000 years in the future or whatever, but it takes place in the far future. And like the humans have taken to space. As far as humanity is concerned, Earth has been destroyed or is gone or is no longer habitable or whatnot. And they live in this giant, like, it's almost like if you remember the movie Elysium, there's this place called Avalon, like the space colony called Avalon. And it gives me the vibes that it's like the creme de la creme, like only the best of the best live there. And then like everybody else just either lives on like military ships, like or whatever. And so like they're in this eternal battle against this alien species called the Hideo. And the giant space squid you mentioned. And that's like literally their whole life. Like I forget exactly how many days he says in the beginning, but I did the math. Leto's been doing this for 16 years and I get and he's really young. So I get the impression like as soon as they're able to walk and talk and whatnot, they're starting to be trained for military in this world. And this world is like a very rigid militaristic thing. Like everybody has quick regimes and pretty much their whole life is fighting this alien. Like that is the only thing Leto knows is fighting these aliens. He doesn't know friendships. He doesn't know jobs. He doesn't know anything. And then, you know, they do an assault on this nest. This is all in the first episode. They do an assault on this nest on the Hideo, and they start losing. So they create a wormhole so that they can go to where the nest is and fight. And then they start losing, so they retreat. But then somehow Leto, like, falls off of the ship that's supposed to take them back home. And so he falls through the wormhole and gets taken back to Earth. And only he realizes that Earth isn't dead. It's completely submerged underwater, but it's not dead. Like, there's people living on it. And so, like, his whole... It's almost like an isekai anime, if you're really thinking about it, because now he's on Earth. But Earth is, like, primitive to him. Like, it's kind of akin to what we live on. Like, they have kind of old-school tools, like, relative to where he's from, because he's, you know, he's flying in a giant mech, and he lives in space and everything. They have kind of screwdrivers and blowtorches, and they have... you know, cranes and stuff, and these giant ships, the Gargantia, is like they call them fleets. Basically, a bunch of ships will link together and almost create like this giant floating city that looks almost like an oil rig, but it just kind of sails through the ocean. And yeah, so he's in a primitive world now because Earth. And then we get into a little bit later about why it's that way, but yeah.
I also found it interesting in, like, the first episode. Is it the first or second episode when he's on Earth and we go back and forth between Leto and Amy and the other people on the ship? And then when it's Leto's perspective, he's speaking, like, we can understand him. And everyone else is speaking, like, a foreign language. Mm-hmm. And then when it flips, they're speaking, like, we can understand. And he is speaking the foreign, like, space language or whatever.
Yeah.
Gosh, another thing I was thinking about when I was watching the show was, like, this is Earth, but then a lot of them don't know about Earth's past. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, they're like, oh, this technology that we find underwater, these relics that we find, which is like our buildings, like today's buildings that have just been like flooded under, like, because the water has risen above all our buildings and stuff. So it's just mm-hmm. kind of like warehouses and things, but they're like, these are the relics of the past. And it's kind of interesting, like, I don't know. It's interesting thinking about, like, whoa, was there a time where we lost history? Where something happened and, like, history is forgotten mm-hmm. and now we're restarting?
Yeah. Well, we do learn that there was a cataclysm yeah. that resulted in them leaving Earth, which is a trope we've seen in other games or whatever, or anime or just TV shows, media in general, where it's like Earth has become uninhabitable, so we took to the stars. Like, there was another ice age essentially, and, like, you know, humanity was like, oh well, if we stay on Earth, we're gonna die, we're gonna freeze to death. And they decide to they discover wormhole and space travel, and they leave. And but apparently not everybody on Earth died. Like, I don't know if they just went, you know, if they just went into caves or whatever, but not everybody on Earth died, and eventually all the snow melted, and that's why everything's flooded and everything's underwater. And, you know, society, to borrow from, you know, Jurassic Park, life found a way.
Okay, well, do you want to talk about some of the characters, or were there any moments that really stuck out to you? Because there's like a couple, but they're later in the season.
I wouldn't say any specific moment. It's just the whole growth arc of him that stuck to me, because there's like it's just a series of moments, because he just can't, like, him learning how this world works and how different it is from him, because the world he comes from is pretty tyrannical when you really break it down. Like, he, at one point we meet Amy, who is like the love interest or whatever, who he meets on Gargantua. We meet her brother, and her brother is sickly. Like, he can't walk on his own. He needs a wheelchair or whatnot. And Leto is kind of confused, because basically in his society, It's almost like in the movie 300. Basically, anybody who is physically unable to work is considered useless and would have been killed at birth. Or, you know, if you become elderly or whatever, you know, and you're not able to take care of yourself, you're killed because you have no, there's no benefit. There's no purpose in you being alive. So he lives in a society like that. So he couldn't wrap his head around why this boy is allowed to live, because in his society, that's what would happen.
Do you think he saw that before, though? Do you think he's seen people? Because, like, remember at the, like, last couple episodes where we see all those people die? Like, they throw them into the water? He seemed shocked. Like, I can't believe they're killing all these people. So, I do you think he just knows of it and this is the first time witnessing it? Because he was, stunned that they were doing
that. Maybe it is one of those things where he's aware of it. But, like, he's aware, like, his society is incredibly rigid. And stuff. And like in the beginning episode, in the beginning of the first episode, like in the first 5-10 minutes, you hear somebody saying like, oh, you know, if you keep this up and you keep rising in the ranks, you'll get to live in Avalon where you can reproduce and stuff. And he seems interested in, you know, that's like a very subtle thing, but it shows like how structured that society is to where you like, you don't just get to live life and everything has a purpose. Like, my purpose in life is to fight the Hideo. And if I can't do that, then there's no purpose in my life. Why should I be allowed to live? Yada, yada, yada. We get all of that. And then he's learning through this experience on Gargantia, like how to just be a normal person, that not everything needs to have a strict purpose, that human life has a value. You know, we have that moment where he kills all the pirates because, you know, he's militaristic. They're the enemy. I kill the enemy. That's what we do. And then everybody's upset because it's like, no, you don't just kill people. And, you know, so he's starting to learn like this other way of life that just did not exist in space.
Yeah. Do you think his brother was killed? Remember he talks about his brother and he's like, Amy's brother reminds him of his brother. Do you think his brother was murdered? Because he was like, I don't have any memory of him, but I remember having a brother.
Probably. But he's probably also like kind of heartless, not heartless, but just the idea of like, he grew up in an area where people die and you just move on. Yeah. Probably.
I also, do you remember in the beginning when it's like the robot suit was telling him like, after you complete this mission, you'll have earned enough credits. And it was to spend 1 week on Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
1 week? Like, I was like, you don't get to live there? Like, you just spend a week there and then you have to leave again? What, just do it all over?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was crazy. Yeah, but for like we were saying, like, most of the show is watching Leto live his life. I love them, like, they keep offering him fish to eat, and he's like, what is... And the robot's AI is kind of with him. He has, like, a... Is it the robot's AI that he talks to separately, or is it a different, two different AIs?
No, it's the same AI. So he has, like, the robot, like, the mech itself has an AI built in, but then he also, he's, like, able to carry around, like, this little... It's not exactly a smartphone, but kind of like a mini pocket computer that he can carry so he can bring his AI with him.
Yeah, so the I love how it's, chamber. Like, this is a carcass. Whenever they offer a fish, they're like, this is a carcass of an animal. And he's always like, oh, I have to eat this? So I always thought that was funny. Yeah, I really loved it. I think we should just jump to... This is the moment where I was like, this is insane. When they find out that... What are they called? The Hideos?
Hideo.
The Hideos in space. And then on planet Earth, they're called whale sharks, I believe.
Whale skins.
And we find out that these creatures are actually humans that were experimented on, and then it's like the evolution of that. So they're not just an alien creature, they're human beings.
Yep.
And that's like, I think I had the same reaction Leto had, was like, these things that we've just been killing, they're like they're us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when he, because his captain is on Earth as well. And then he asks his captain about it, and his captain's like, we knew this information already. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we didn't know they were humans, we should stop this. It's like, we don't like how they're living their life. Mm-hmm. It infringes on our life. So we need to exterminate them all. Yep. And I was, when that started happening, when we started going diving into that, I was like, whoa, this is taking a very, like, you know, it's taking a stance on, like, humanity and how people live life and, like, controlling of other people's life and that exactly. stuff. I was like, whoa, this, we went from kind of a slice of life every day. Like, when I was watching it, the first part, I was like, oh, this feels like an immigrant story, like someone coming from another country to this place and then growing up, like learning the culture and learning the customs of this place. So that's how I felt watching the first like 7-8 episodes. And then this turn, I'm like, whoa, this is actually an anime about like the government controlling our lives or people trying to tell us how to live our lives. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And then it takes another turn. I don't know. Do you have anything to say about the human part of humans being?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting because like what we learn is that, you know, as this ice age is happening and whatnot, like a good portion of humanity decides that the answer is to go to the stars, like to abandon Earth. How they go to the stars, though, varies. And so you had this one group that believed, oh, we'll create these wormholes and that'll allow us to travel to deep space and colonize space and whatnot. And then the other one just thought, well, that's stupid. There's no way a human being can survive the vacuum of space. We need to evolve so that we can survive in space. We need to evolve to where we can freely travel through space. We don't need oxygen. Our body can survive. So they called themselves the Evolvers. And so they experimented on themselves. And that's how they wound up becoming Hideo. And so, yeah. So like they are effectively human. And so it's just funny because you start the anime thinking, oh, these are these deep space aliens that, I don't know, maybe they came across one day and that's how they started fighting each other or whatnot. But then you realize like, no, this is a fight that has gone all the way back to Earth. It's just these two groups that have a major disagreement on how they should be living their lives who are fighting each other to the death.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, because, yeah, they were the Evolvers, and I don't know what they called the other people. The Travelers?
Yep.
Or what? It is crazy, though, to be like, we're just going to change how our, like, autonomy is. Especially when we first see, because it's not like the evolution took time and, like, slowly we evolved into that. They transformed humans into these space squids. Because we saw one guy get experimented on, and he basically was a squid, and we could see his head from the backside looking at us. So that was a little jarring. And yeah, when we find out that his captain is on Earth, then it took another turn for me. Because we find out that his captain is dead. That he's not alive in the suit. He's been dead for a while. And that the suit's AI has decided this is what's right and taking it upon itself. And then I was like, well, this is now AI going out of control kind of mm-hmm. thing. And this is like, and I just looked it up. This anime came out in 2013. So this is 2013. I feel like, not that AI is brand new. I feel like AI has just exploded recently, the past few years. But like, we've had Terminator and all that stuff before, so it's not like a new concept. But when I found out that the like AI was like the AI was basically like, I am God now, and these people need me to lead them. I was like, oh wow, we're going for it now. we're going for it, and I'm here for it too. I enjoyed the twist of it. Like, those were the couple moments where I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this show is taking the turn.
Yep. It's like, what's it called? I believe it's called Zeroth or Zeroth Law Rebellion. You see it in like Age of Ultron, iRobot, stuff like that, where you have an AI that was created to either take orders or protect humanity or whatever, that evolves and decides that the way to protect humanity is to lord over it. And so that's kind of where that AI did, because like the captain actually landed on Earth before, like, I guess because, you know, time space distortion and all that stuff, because he falls off the ship too, presumably. And so he lands on Earth before Leto does, and he's found by a different flotilla or a different fleet of pirates, and they believe he's a god and whatnot because, you know, he has his magic ship and stuff. And so he decides the best thing to do is to, like, bring order to this primitive society is to implement, like, the same rules or laws or order that he has in the Galactic Alliance. And so he starts trying to enforce it, but then he winds up dying. And so I guess in order to like maintain the illusion or whatnot, he gives his AI Striker, I believe it's its name. He gives the AI Striker the order to see through his dream, to bring order to the people of Earth that is similar to that of the what they have at the Galactic Alliance. And then, so the AI will start talking to people using Commander or Captain Kugel's voice, given the illusion that Captain Kugel is alive. Then there's the reveal that he's actually been dead this whole time. You get the realization. So the AI believes that the only way, like, humans are just these humans are just too primitive. They're too stupid. The only way we can keep them safe is if I rule them as a god.
Yeah, I was shocked when that happened. I thought almost that it was a recording too, like all these saying, but then he had like conversations with Leto. So I don't know. When Leto opened the like cockpit and then there was just the dead captain in there, it was very interesting. And then they had that. Then we got our mecha fight at the end. So I really enjoyed that. But were there any other moments or any other characters you want to talk about before we give our kind of final thoughts or in a rating?
No, I think that was great. I mean, that whole everything about the show was great. And I do like that Leto, you know, just finally. I mean, there was we find out like maybe a little bit halfway through the season that there was just no way he was returning to Earth because like, what was it? Chamber, his AI, eventually does like a calculation and he sends an SOS message back to his fleet in space. And he does a calculation that it's going to take like 6,000 years for the message to be received. So that gives you an idea of how far away they are. And he's, you know, he has no way to achieve light speed travel or create a wormhole of his own or anything. So he's stuck.
Yeah, when they found out that, because that was kind of around like the middle of the show, when we found out that he's stuck here forever, I really thought, oh, this is where we're really deep diving into like Leto getting his own place and like Leto living, like he's going to find a job. Because he does try out a few jobs beforehand and he's horrible at everything. So I really thought that was going to be the continuation of the show. And the turn I did enjoy, like every new twist, I really enjoyed that too. So the show was really good. Like we do, like our new rating system, we have a new rating system, everyone. And this week we will be rating Gargantia. Jason, what would you rate Gargantia?
So using the new system, I would have to give it a delicious dish. It's not like it is an amazing anime. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't put it like on the same level as Full Metal Alchemist, which is my favorite anime of all time. So I can't give it legendary meal, but I would absolutely say it is great. It is worth a watch. Everybody should watch it. It's probably worth it definitely is worth the second watch. So I would give it a delicious dish.
I'm also giving a delicious dish with this, caveat. Like, just know what you're getting into. Like, I feel like if you kind of it go with the flow and accept kind of how it's transitioning and how the show evolves, because it does kind of go through stages. And if you're okay with that and you're prepared for that, then it's a great show. But if you're like going in thinking like space, then you're going to be fooled. But the cover art isn't even space. It's more ocean. So mm-hmm. You shouldn't be tricked by that. But I think this surprised me. I love slice of life. That's one of my favorite anime genres. And this feels slice of life to me. So I really loved it. It's definitely I would rate it delicious dish. I definitely could see myself rewatching this again. Just because I really love the themes of it. The commentary it had towards the end about just like government control and AI, it's very thought-provoking for me, like especially this time when I'm really thinking about like those kind of things. So for me, delicious dish, it's definitely worth a watch. Those are just kind of the ratings that we gave it and our thoughts about the show. We would love to hear your comments, your favorite characters, and what you would rate this show. So please comment that on our Instagram. Okay, it's time to put you onto something new. This is our recommendation segment where we share whatever we've been watching, reading, or obsessed with over lately.
Recommendations, recommendations. Here are some recommendations.
Jason, do you have a recommendation for our audience this week?
I have been watching and I'm finally caught up with Digimon Beat Break. It is the latest Digimon season. It is really good. I don't want to spoil anything about it, but it's definitely a different take on Digimon from pretty much every season before. So I would strongly recommend people watching it.
That is on my to-do list. I want to watch it. Like I said, next week I'll be traveling to San Diego. I think I'm going to just download a few of those episodes for the airplane ride and just give it a shot over there. I've only heard great things about it, though, so I'm really excited to give it a go. My recommendation this week is also another anime, and it's one that I found recently. It's called You and I Are Polar Opposites. It's another slice of life. It's about this bubbly girl who falls in love with a quiet classmate, and they're just two totally different people. And it's just fun seeing them go on dates together and just how their personalities clash. But their love is what brings them together. I really love this show a lot. If you watch the anime My Dress Up Darling, this is very, it feels very akin to that. So I definitely say check it out. That's on Crunchyroll. I believe Digimon is also on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. Oh, it's Hulu as well. Too,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. So they release the sub episodes or the subbed episodes every week. And then they do it in batches. So like after about 5-10 episodes or something, they'll release dubs. So if you're willing to wait, you can watch the dubs. There's a bunch of them on now, but if you're wanting to stay up to date, then you'll have to watch the subs.
Nice. I will probably be watching the dubs. Dubs are just easier for me at the time, though. I'm not anti-sub, you know, but I grew up watching anime and dub, so that's kind of my preferred method. And finally, everyone, the kitchen is closed for today. You can find us on Instagram at AnimeBentoPod. You can find me at JimStatue.
Yep. And then you can find me. We'll be back doing That's My Purse Pod here soon with the new, season 15 of King of the Hill. So join us on that.
Yeah, I'll definitely leave a link for that in the show description. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you're full of anime and even more full of good food. We'll catch you next time. Stay legendary.
And I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The show.